The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Jesus' name we pray. I say in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. So, how are we doing? How are we doing? Happy New Month. Amen. So what's happening in March? That's not everybody. What is happening in March for you? Amen. Then how is the weather for you? Amen. So today, well, I would like to apologize, you know, what you're feeling and all that, but it's part of it. Okay, we are working hard to make sure that this doesn't always happen. I mean, how you're feeling, the weather. Amen. But for now, enjoy it. Glory to God. I say you should enjoy it too. Mark chapter 16 verse 16. So I'll be teaching on what I titled Churching Right. Amen. Churching Right. Hallelujah. So there is a right way to church and there is a wrong way to church. Well, I'm coming to that surely. Mark chapter 16 verse 16. Matthew 16 verse 16 with the King James. In verse 18, it talks about Jesus saying, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I've tried to explain to us time and time again that talks about the building of the church is by Christ's resurrection. But I'm going to show that again better. So in 16, Mark 16 verse 16, Simon Peter answered. Of course, Jesus asked them, who do people say I am? And people began to say, some said that you're Elijah, some said you are John the Baptist. And he turned and asked them, okay, you, God, who do you say that I am? So Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, the things you are saying, it's not man that showed you, it is my Father that showed you this. In other words, your answer, Peter, is divine. Now, verse 18. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. A lot of people read this verse, you know, I've heard people teach that the church was built on Peter. Amen. And they hear things like, that's why Peter is the first this and first that. That cannot be farther away from the truth. He says, thou art Peter. The word Peter in the Greek, okay, is the word Petrus. It means rock. Are you following me? Are you following me? It means rock. It means a large rock. Is that, but then, it now said, upon this rock. The word rock there now is no longer Petrus. It's not the word Petra. Amen? Which talks about a massive, something bigger, probably like amplified. You will see what I'm saying. A bigger rock than Peter. So put up amplified. Look at the screen. Verse 18. I don't know how you jumped to 19. And I tell you, you are Peter. You see, Amplified even showed you what the Greek means. Greek is what? Petrus, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, the Greek now is Petra. So he's telling you, he's talking about something bigger than Peter. Who is following me at all? And on this rock, Petra, a huge rock, like Gibraltar, I'll build my church. So, what was he referring to as Petra? Are you following me?
Now, notice what Peter answered. Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. So he was referring to that Peter's revelation of Christ as the Son of God. He was referring to it as Petra. Upon this rock. That rock is not Peter. Right? Upon this rock, this revelation of Christ being the Son of God. Let me see. How did Christ become the Son of God? Do you remember? How? He died and he rose again. So when he rose, he became the Son of God. I've told that a couple of times, right? He was the only begotten Son of God, but when he died and rose again, he became the Son of God, the first begotten from the dead. So when Peter was saying, when Jesus was saying, upon this rock, upon me, the revelation of me as the Son of God, I will build my church, okay? He was saying, the church will be built on me. But not just on me as the Son, right? Not just on being built on me as the Son. He's talking about it will build on me as the risen Christ. Pay attention. And that says, upon this rock, and let me prove it to you, shortly. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell. The gates of hell. That word hell talks about the place of the dead. You're talking about hellfire. Are you following me? It talks about the place of the dead in this verse. Put up like amplified. You see, amplified obeyed, showed it too. Are you there? I tell you, you are Peter, Greek, Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek, Petra. Do you understand? I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades, the pass of the infernal region, shall not overpower it. So, what is talking about the place of the dead? It means, I will die. I will rise to build my church. And the place of the dead, grave, will not be able to stop me from building my church. So how did Jesus build his church? He built his church by dying and rising. Are you following me? So what he was saying in summary here is, Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, well, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But I tell you the truth, Peter, I will die and rise to build my church, and the gates of hell, grave, will not be able to stop me from building my church. So what am I saying? That it was when he now died and rose again that the church was built. So the church was founded on Christ as the Son. The church was founded on Christ as the Son of God. And so the church, as I've always taught in this church, is not an invention of man. It isn't just something man came up with in his head. It is God's own idea. And it came to be by Jesus' death and resurrection. So when he rose from the church, from the dead rather, the church was built. And this church is not just about the denomination, it's about the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27, he refers to the church as Christ's body. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now it says, "You are Christ's body, and members in particular." Right? Prop King James. I said, "Oh, let's start with King James, then go check other translations." He said, "You are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So he's talking to them. You all, we all, as we gather here, the whole church, we are the body of Christ. Now we are different members of that body. Do you follow? We are different members of that body. So when he rose from dead, he rose up as a body. That body he rose up as is the church. Is the church. Ephesians 5 verse 30 will tell us that we are bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Right? We are of members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. So when we are wedding people, and we say, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to the wife, and they shall become one flesh, you know, and Adam now told Eve, you are bone of my bone, you are flesh of my flesh. That which Adam said to Eve was not actually directed at Eve. Are you following me? Pay attention. Adam is a type of Christ. You know that, right? Adam is a type of Christ. Eve is a type of the church. Are you here? Adam is a type of Christ. Eve is a type of the church. So when Adam saw Eve and said, you are now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. That's the same thing Paul is saying about us here, that we are bones of Christ's bones and flesh of his flesh. You understand? That's why if you want to learn about, I've taught this a couple of times, if you want to learn about how the church came about, you can simply just study how Eve came about. I've taught that before, right? How did Eve come about? Adam was made to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, they opened his side, God opened his side, and then Eve came from him. How did the church come about? Jesus, who is the last Adam, was made to fall into a deep sleep on the cross. And while he was sleeping on the cross, we became the product of that sleep. Are you following me? And so when we say, you are now born of my bones and flesh of my flesh, that's the same thing Jesus is saying about us. So we are, so when we talk about the church, we are talking about Christ's body. And different of us are different parts of his body. You follow to this point. So we are parts of, so we talk about the church, we're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So, and the way to become part of this body is by salvation. So in Acts chapter 2 verse 47, he will tell us how people became members of God's body. You don't become a member of the church. Okay? You are not a part of the church because you are coming to church every Thursday and every Sunday. You are a part of the church because you are born again. Bible said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Put up like NLT. Put up like NLT. King James said, such as should be saved. NLT said, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So it is as people are being saved that they are being added to the church. Right? That's why you find out that there are many churches that have a crowd physically, but all the crowd are not part of the church. Because I can give birth to my child, or I can give birth to your child, and you start carrying your child to church. If that child is not born again, we can be putting his name on the attendance register. He's not a part of the church. Are you following me? The church was founded on Christ's resurrection, and the only way to become part of that his body is by salvation. So by the time you put your faith into what Christ has done, what happens is, you are now, let me use the term you understand well, you will now be grafted in. You understand grafting? Do you understand grafting? Did you do agricultural science? At least you read about it somewhere. Yeah. So this is a full body. So when someone gets saved, we graft him in. When another person gets saved, we graft him in. Another person, we graft, that's what happens. You get the point? So it's as you are getting saved that you are joining the body. So as we are gathered here, we are different parts of the body of Christ. Are you following me? We are different parts of the body of Christ. And that's the church. Now, that is becoming part of the body. Now, after you now become part of the body, it's now expected of you that you now become part of a gathering in the body. And this is why many people have issues. Please pay attention to this I'm saying to you today. That you become part of the body by salvation. But then you should also be expected to become part of a gathering, which is a part of the body. You understand? Platform of grace is not the only body of Christ there is. Right? And once you are born again, you belong to the body of Christ. But then we now expect you to join a gathering, which is a part of the bigger body. And the reason is because, you know, people say this, I believe there's nobody like that. People say things like, well, I'm born again, I'm part of the church, but I don't need to join any particular church. If you're like that, you have a problem. Do you understand me? A very big problem. It's just like I was explaining. It's just like saying, I'm a footballer, but I don't belong to any football club. He said, so where do you play? Do you play in Man U or in Chelsea? He said, I just play. So which club? He said, nowhere. Or say things like, I'm a student. He said, which school? Well, it doesn't matter. I belong to everybody and I belong to nobody. Becoming a student, you don't need to see. The proof that you're a student is that you belong to a particular school. And that is a school we can identify you with. Right? It's the same Ministry of Education that controls all the schools. But they have to belong to one. And that's the same thing about church. You know, so you become grafted into the body of Christ. Then you belong to a particular church family. And that is a family in the big family. You know, Paul got saved. In Acts chapter 9. Now, the first thing, put put up verse 26. The first thing Paul did after he got saved, right, was, look at the screen. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. The first thing he did was he attempted to join the church. Because that is the first thing you do after salvation. And that's why, you know, when I talk to some of you about evangelism, you can't claim to be getting people saved that you don't get them to church. Because check throughout the book of Acts, once people get born again, the first step is get them to church. You saw Acts 2 verse 47, the Lord added to the church such as you are being saved. So the addition to the kingdom was an addition to the church. So Saul was come to Jerusalem, he has saved, he tried to join them. Of course, they were afraid of him because they know this guy that was killing people. So, look at verse 27. What happened was, Barnabas now took him. That's why we normally talk about church invitation. Took him and dragged him and brought him, said, this guy is now born again. He's now a believer. Let him join. Are you following me? Let him join. So the first thing to do is, you become part of the big body, which is salvation. Then, you join a family in that big body. That's what we call the church. You know, people argue that there shouldn't be denominations. Amen? And it just makes me laugh. Don't you realize it's true that it's calling denominations? There were different churches and there were always different churches. In fact, if you read Revelation, you keep seeing things like the church in Ephesus. Did you not see that? The church in, these are different churches in different cities. And he said to the angel of the church of Ephesus, that's not a spiritual angel. That one angel there means pastor. Right? So it means special messenger. So to the pastor of this church, write to them. So there were different churches. If you read the book of the, throughout the epistle itself, you keep seeing Paul say things like, greet the church that is in so-so person's house. Do you see all those things? Meaning there were different churches and different denominations. And notice, I'll just show you that when Peter was arrested, the church was praying for him, right? Right? Where were they? Somebody's house. John Mark's house, right? Now, as at that point, let me see if I can remember. That was Acts 12. As at that point, how many believers were there in the world then? A lot. For instance, in Acts 2, 3,000, at least we know God saved. Later, we saw 5,000. Would it possibly be all the believers that were gathered in that person's house praying for him? So it means there was also a particular group that Peter belonged to that were responsible for him. Who is what I'm talking about at all? So it's not just enough to say, well, I'm a believer, I'm part of the body of Christ, I can be anywhere. Mm-mm. So they belong to churches. So if there were no different churches, there would be nothing like the book of Romans. The book of Romans simply means a book written to the church in Romans. There was book of Corinthians. There is book of Ephesians. You understand? So there were different churches in different cities, in different places. Just that they didn't have names like we're having now. Platform of Grace. Winner Chapel. They didn't have it. He says, so why are we having it now? Let's leave all that. Amen? Because the things have really changed. Not just in the Bible. There are now legal issues that have to do with ministry. And even raising organizations now. You understand the point? If you don't have a name now, binding, whatever, you can't even do anything. You can't go and register your church as nothing. Do you understand me? So let's leave all of that. But if you belong to a particular denomination, a particular group, you should belong. You can't just say, well, I'm just a student. So where is your school? Nowhere. Or some other funny people I always joke with are people that say things like, my school, I really don't have a particular school, but I go to school. So this Monday, I'm going to be at UNM. But I'm a law student. The next two Sundays, I'm going to be at ESUT. I like the lecture in ESUT. But I like the UNISIC environment. You see people that have like different things about different churches. That's how foolish you sound. So where are you? You say, I'm nowhere. I go to the church because their music is top notch. This other church, they can teach. The other one, they are packaged. He's not anywhere. Now, at the end of the day, nobody knows you as anything. Nobody can account for you. And I can tell you in the school system, you cannot write the exam with any of those schools. One of them can certify you. And you will not even be a lawyer. You just roam like that. After roaming from place to place, your life just ends. Now, you must belong. I can tell you what belonging to, because, well, I don't know if I should make this statement, but let's continue. Sure. So, you must belong to somewhere. So, he got born again and joined himself to a group. So, he must belong to a church family. A physical gathering. The first thing this physical gathering will do for you, I don't have time to explain all this today because I'm actually taking you to somewhere. What I want to discuss in this series is the right way to church. Okay? I'm just laying foundation. The right way, because there's a right and wrong way. And if you don't church right, you will not get the best out of church forever. Notice, if you saw the handbill for today, it called the churching right, maximizing God's greatest strategy. The greatest strategy of God for the earth is the local church. The greatest strategy of God is the church. The greatest strategy of God. There is nothing God will ever do that you will not do with the church. Nothing. Nothing. That's God's strategy. And I can tell you, by the time we get there, I'll show you. Many things you are looking for is found in this church thing. If you can get it right. Very recently, God began to teach me afresh about the local church. And that period, my pastor began to teach along that line. It's a powerful service, it's powerful local church. And that changed the whole, because we don't understand what is happening. God has put everything. His idea, his way of beating you is the church. Are you following me? And so, you need to know how to church. And the first thing a church does for you when you get into a church, you know, is that it provides, it makes for spiritual growth. You see, there is no way, no easier way, better way, and God's way of growing spiritually that is not the church. The church is what is responsible for spiritual growth. I always say this to people. Get me someone that is not serious with God, who doesn't like God. Bring him to church. Make sure he attends Sunday and Thursday. Right? Consistently for 6 months, he must change. Must. M-U-S-T. Because it's the church. It changes people. I get the point. The church makes for spiritual growth. The church makes for spiritual growth. And I'll show you a couple of scriptures in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, right? After Paul had finished ministry in Ephesus and he was about to leave, he was talking to the pastors. He gathered the pastors, the elders of the church. He said, take it unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. So it was the duty of the pastors to feed the church. So feeding takes place in the church. You cannot grow outside the church. Write it, I'm done, forget. You cannot grow outside the church. You see, I've explained this to you. When it looks like you're growing outside the church, you are not really growing. When they die, it's because you know you're not growing. Spiritually. When I was in school, I met a couple of people who would just say things like, well, we're going to be in any church. So what do they do? They pack Christian books and they're reading. They're doing whatever. They're having a series of prayer meetings. See, let me tell you. What you are packing into your head is knowledge. But I've taught you here, there is more to spiritual growth than knowledge. I've told you, right? Knowledge will kick it off. There is more. There is more. And the local church provides all those things. And I've explained to you the problem with such knowledge. You remember? We call this self-feeding. Do you remember? Self-feeding. What happens is, when you don't belong to a church, but you're just gathering Christian materials, you're just listening to message, everything. The first challenge is, you can take any nonsense into your head. Any nonsense. That's why you see people, they belong to everyone. They believe everything. They believe a little of this nonsense, a little of that nonsense, a little of that nonsense. Because they just listen to, say, I don't really have any church. So, none of them coming to town. Apostle, I'm in that meeting. Witness is coming. Prophet, who is the next person coming? Reverend, So he's everywhere. Everything. He doesn't have, there is nothing that sieves anything for him. The local church is deceived. Right? That's how you begin to know whether you have conviction or not. That's the problem with self-feeding. Another challenge self-feeding has is, when you find yourself self-feeding, you will always be listening to what interests you. And it's a very dangerous thing. You know, one thing the church does for us is, it serves you different meals. Some of you come to church today, this is not what you wanted to hear today. Maybe you came to trust God for today and a miracle, and I'm teaching about this. The church serves you with everything you need. We give you protein.
We give you carbohydrates. We give you fats and oil, right? Give you minerals. What else? We give you water. What else? Vitamins. What else? You don't know it.
Well, we give you a little of all those things to grow. Imagine you allow a child. You give birth to a child and you allow the child to self-feed. Every day, mommy, what will you eat? I want sweets. Okay, children of this, they no longer lick sweets. They lick chocolate. The word has spoiled. So what do you want? They say, I want chocolate. And imagine you allow the child every time. Baby, it's all about what you want. You want chocolate, right? You see the mom will force it. Did your mom force you? And I said, I don't feel like eating beans. Say, why? Eat beans. Now, sometimes, of course, there's an extreme to this. But then, you can't just allow, and that's what the church is. You see, people, the only thing they know in their life is about healing. Because healing interested them as young believers. They didn't have any church to serve them everything. They were reading books on healing, tapes on healing, books on healing. So they know too much about healing, but that's all there is to it. Now, some people, the only thing they know is grace. Grace. We are forgiving. Grace. Grace. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ is everything we preach. Is that true? But then, some people, the only thing they know is how their sins are forgiven. They don't know about the responsibilities to preach the gospel. They don't know about how that forgiveness should translate to a godly life in them. Are you getting the point? They don't know about how to go and pray for the sick and heal the sick. They don't know about how they're supposed to serve. All they know is someone that's their own is holiness. They just like that. That's the problem with self-feeding without having a church. You always be eating what you like. Are you following me? Now, some of you, if you never had a school, if we allowed you to read on your own, there are subjects you wouldn't have ever touched in your life. And what is that subject for you?
That is not true.
Amen? Some of you, as students, you just be reading government. But there is more to life than government. And so, the school now begins to tell you, first period is maths. And second period, because you have to. Hallelujah. Now, I'm saying all this to say, you can't just say, I don't need the church. You need to be somewhere. So the first thing it offers you is spiritual growth. It feeds you and helps you grow. The second thing I can give an example that the church will offer you is warmth. Warmth, right company. You know, warmth. Warmth. W-A-R-M-T-H. Amen. So you see the kind of company that the local church brings you into. The right people. You know, the Bible teaches that we should rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Now that's what the church offers you. You see that company. That's why I normally advise people, you want to get the best out of church. I'm still coming to all of that shortly. We can't close church and you run off. You won't get the best. So you see that warmth, that company, it helps you build it. And this warmth and this company will now bring support of all sorts. You now find spiritual support. You now find prayer support. They arrested Peter. They put him in prison. That company refused that he would be in prison. They stayed up all night praying for him. Now I was talking about it on Sunday. You don't have a church you belong to. You are just floating. There's nobody praying for you. Let nobody fool you. Say, my mom is praying for you. That's all now. That's all. You don't have somebody, a church you belong to? Nobody. The chances are, except maybe just somebody else is a peace interest in you. Let me just pray for her to get serious with God. But as prayer support, there is moral support. There is moral support. It's found in church. When you are down, when you are struggling, there are people that will always come around. That will always be there. Hallelujah. It's moral support. There are different kinds. There is even material support. Financial support. The reason why you go all over the place begging people that you should be preaching to money is because you refuse to identify with the local church. There are people that are supposed to help you that are found in the church. But then you don't want to use them. You rather beg
people that are just any kind of unbeliever on the street, I say, please give me money. Amen? People can be in lack, but you see, the solution you even need for out of your lack is provided in the church. Do you understand the point? You know this is family, right? This is family. This is family. And I'd like you to know, when I mean this is family, it's not just what you say, it is family. If I say this, you may not believe it. So let me not run that comparison. But because I was going to compare your biological family and spiritual family, but let me leave it. But what holds us together as the church is very strong. Very strong. We share the same Lord. We have the same faith. We have the same spirit. Same spirit. Do you understand me? Same spirit. And it's so powerful that, you know, for you and your family, you guys share, you have same genotype. We share the same spirit working in me. It's also working in you. What is holding us together is strong. I didn't say the same type of spirit. I said the same spirit. Like, all of us are part of one full body. And so, it's a very strong... So, you find that when you now understand with the church, you begin to enjoy the support that comes from the church. Every kind of support. Moral, material, prayer, every kind of support. Correction support too. You know, in the church, you find God's method. In the church, you find God's method for preservation. You find God's method for provision. You find God's method for... I don't have time. Maybe towards the end of this teaching, I'll bring out a particular and teach on the power of the local church. Right? You find God's method for healing. Jesus, James will tell them, if any of you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. That is healing found in the church. Peter was put in prison. The church stood and ensured his deliverance. I get what I'm talking about. You find God's method for provision. You find it all over. But it's found in the church. And so, we talk about the church, and you must identify with one. And when you now identify with that church, you begin to church right. And churching right, actually, I can tell you for free, starts from choosing the right church. It starts from choosing the right church to church with. You know, people think that how you can choose a church is, how you choose a church is by proximity. Which one is close to my house? Some others think it's by birth. The way were you born into? Okay? Some of the people think it's anything. But I can tell you the truth. It is none of those things. So, if we all go by where we are born into, some of your parents were born into idolatry. That's where you should be by now. Do you understand me? Now, is there anything wrong with being in your parents' church? No. Totally no. Right? Totally no. Because I know you want your children to be your church. So there's nothing wrong with that. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? However, what we check in choosing a church, so if your parents' church serves you, I'm going to give you like 3-4 things to check. You want to choose a good church. 3-4 things to check. If you find that, be there. There's nothing wrong with that. You get the point? But I'm saying you have a responsibility for choosing where you worship. Right? And if you are lucky enough or blessed enough to be born into a good, healthy church, stay there. Amen? Stay there. So, the first thing you look out for in a church, in choosing a church family, I'll mention four. First of all is their teaching. What do they teach? The word is the first you check out for entering a church. The word. Because it is that in that teaching that will form you. And what should you look out for that teaching? They must be teaching the focus of their teaching must be on Jesus and what he has done on the cross alone. You can't go to a church and what you are learning is anything but not what Christ has done. You can't go to a church where you learn condemnation. You can't go to a church where the only thing you are learning is Satan, witches, and how to describe witches. You can't. Because it is what you keep hearing that will now form you. You can't go to church and their focus of their message is motivation. Is there motivation in the gospel? A little of it. Amen? Is there protection in the gospel? Yes, a little of it. Yes, there. But if the things they're talking about is, you can make it. You can progress. You will not have spiritual stamina. What grows us is the word of his grace. Remember that? I commend you to God and word of his grace. So it is what they teach. Are they teaching about what Christ has done? His death, his resurrection, how he has paid for your sins, who he has made you in him, right? The life of God. That's what, because, say, why is it that, why must it be that thing that they should teach? I can tell you for free. Because that is what Paul preached.
That is what Peter preached. That is what the apostles preached. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, he said, I deliver unto you that which I also received. So Paul was telling us what he received. What did he receive? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again. That's what he received. That's what he delivered unto them. That's what he preached. And he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. He said, the same thing thou hast said of me. He said, the same commits to faithful men. The same thing. So, in other words, the church is supposed to be passing the same message. But you know, we live in a time where people are at different levels of their spiritual maturity. So you find churches that the only thing you hear about is motivation. Some others, the only thing you hear about is killing of witches. Some others, the only thing you hear about are ancestral curses, breaking of curses, covenant. That thing cannot mature you. Be solid. You walk with God. Are you getting me? I'm not saying it's bad, though. I'm just telling you the truth. Cannot. So the first thing you check is, what do they preach? Do they preach about Christ's death and his resurrection? Is that the focus of their message? You know, in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10, Paul made it clear. He said, there is no other foundation. No other foundation. Look at this. He said, according to the grace given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. I have another builded thereon. But let every man take it how he built it thereupon. Look at verse 11. Let's use it together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is. So the only foundation that we build on is Christ. That's the only thing we teach. I'm not talking about mentioning Jesus in your message. I mean teaching Christ. I've explained to you that in church, we don't preach about Jesus. We preach Jesus. Are you getting me? We don't preach. Jesus is not something we preach about. He is the message. He is the message of the entire Bible. He is the message of the church. What he has done on the cross. Okay? I've explained to you that Christ's death, who has read Rezo Facts? Christ's death and resurrection is the central message of the entire Bible. And that's the message given to us as a church. So every church must be preaching it. It's not a special message given to Pastor Henry. Or given to some people. It is the message that Paul passed down to us. And so you check, what do they teach? What are they teaching? What are they teaching? Is it about Christ and what he has done on the cross? Or is it about me and how I'm going to hell if I don't do well? Is it about me and how I'm failing God? Do I leave church more confident and assured about what Christ has done? Or do I leave church and I'm doubting whether I'm even saved or not? Are you got what I'm talking about? Do I leave church and I'm confident that Christ has redeemed me, I'm forgiven, I'm bold, I leave church bolder, I leave church seeing myself as God has made me? Or do I leave church every day wondering whether witches will kill me this night or not? I don't get the point. That's the test. You know, I was saying something, you know, one of the ways to check your message, whether it's right or wrong, both the message you're preaching and when you're listening to, is this. Expose that message to Christ's resurrection. Once you expose it, does it negate Christ's resurrection or does it support it? I can give you one or two examples. You walk up to a believer and you tell him that if he sins now, a believer, that he's going to go to hell, you are negating Christ's resurrection. Because in Christ's resurrection, what we have is eternal forgiveness, eternal redemption. You're already preaching against that message. You don't have to say it. You tell a believer, see, witches are coming for you. If they are going to get you. In Christ's resurrection, we have authority. We have dominion. Are you what I'm talking about? You tell a believer, see, you are not qualified for what God wants you to do. That's wrong. The Bible said our sufficiency is of God. Please get what I'm saying. If it doesn't support what Christ has done, is that a resurrection then? If you finish and the believer is thinking about whether he's still righteous or not, then you're preaching your thing. Because Christ became the firstborn from the dead. The first of our kind. In other words, even a believer is made in that his image. And that his image is righteous. Amen? That his image is holy. And so you check what they preach. Because that's how you're going to grow. If not, you will not grow. You see, that's why people can be in church for long. They don't know anything. They don't have any conviction. They can't stand. They're not even sure that they're going to heaven. They're not even sure that they're going to hell. They're not even sure what is happening to them. They don't understand anything about Christianity.
So they check what are they listening? What are they saying? Right? The second thing you check out for in a church, one, you check their message. Secondly, you check the emphasis and the priorities of the church. What do they emphasize? The emphasis of a church should be around the spiritual growth of the believer. If it doesn't emphasize, so do they emphasize prayer, the study of the word, evangelism, soul winning, spiritual growth? Is that what they emphasize? Or do they emphasize every other thing but what should be emphasized? Is it about dance, dance, dance? Amen? Is it about business? The churches you go to is like it's a success club. It's a business summit. A church's emphasis must be, let me say this to you. I'm excited that there are a lot of people in this church, that churches, that God is helping through our church. I mean, even financially. Some of you came in here when you were broke. He took the anointing upon our lives to bring it to where you are today, through or through. But see, if that is all I achieved in your life, after 2 years of pastoring here, I failed. The success of a pastor is not that his people became rich. Becoming richer or becoming healed in a church is a proof to the anointing of God upon the pastor. That one is true. Right? Spiritual growth is the proof to the calling of the pastor. So Paul tells the guys, you said you are the seal of my apostleship. When I see people in our church that are getting healed, 10 cripples walk is a proof to the anointing of God upon my life. It's a proof of the anointing. But then the proof of my calling, the seal of my calling, is that people I have are growing spiritually. So a church's emphasis must not be on money, it must not be on miracles, it must be on the spiritual growth of people. So that's why we'll talk about prayer. We'll talk about study of Bible. We talk about evangelism. Are you following me? We talk about evangelism. We talk about follow-up. We challenge you to grow spiritually. That's what the church should be doing. So you check what is the emphasis of this church. It's not about, you know, some churches, it's like we're coming to play. We just come everything. But so you see a church that service is for 3 hours. And then we use 10 minutes to do opening prayer. We use a couple of minutes to dance and sing. Then we do drama a little. Then after all of that, we do debates. We do quiz. They're not bad, I'm just telling you. And when it is now time to preach, we say we don't have time. So we give 20 minutes to preach. How can you even grow in that kind of place? How can you grow? Any church, listen to me, any church that doesn't give a lot of attention to the word of God and prayer cannot grow you. It cannot. Nobody grows by drama. Nobody grows by dancing. Is it good to dance in church? I'm coming to that in this series. It is good. Don't hear what I didn't say. Is drama allowed in church? Yes. And I'm coming to that in this series. But you see, if that is the major emphasis of any church, they can never grow. Never. It is prayer. You see, in the early church, were they sharing food? Is it bad to share food in church? No. But should that be the emphasis of a church? No. A church cannot have charity as their emphasis. You know, in the same many churches that they say, I like that church. You say, why? Ha! Don't let's share food. They are giving people scholarship. That is beautiful. That cannot grow anybody. If I want to give scholarship, I'll start an NGO. Do you understand me? Should the church give scholarship? Should the church? Yes. To which people? To their members. Amen? Should the church help people pay their hospital bills? Again and again, yes. But should that be the emphasis? That's wrong. That it cannot help you grow. It might make you a powerful businessman. Or make you anything. But not a spiritually mature person. Say amen. And so you check what their emphasis are, what their priorities are, what are the things they prioritize, what are the things they count precious to them. What are the things they count precious to them? Is it prayer? Is it study of the word? Is it evangelism and all that? Now you check the third thing I'll say is there an opportunity for you to express the abilities of God in you in the church? Did they give you opportunity to serve? Because we come to church to bless and to be blessed. Or to be blessed and to bless. That's why churches must keep creating departments. The purpose for all the departments and all that is not just to stress you. It's to give you an opportunity to serve God too. Right? It's to give you an opportunity to be a blessing. So there should be such opportunities. Then the fourth thing, of course, after you check all these things, I will not leave this one out, is the leading of the Spirit. Because sometimes, you see, you find, that's why when people come, when I meet people, especially people that are already believers, and they already know that they should leave their church, and they're in the midst of, where should I go? The first thing I do is, I show them what they must look out for in a church, then I say, go and pray. However, that your prayer cannot lead you against the first three things I mentioned. Are you getting the point? You can't say that the Lord is leading you to go and join a church, but then, obviously, they're not emphasizing on spiritual growth and all that. Because the word and the spirit cannot quarrel. The word and the spirit must agree. Do you understand me? Just like in life, the Bible really teaches that you should not steal, letting that stone steal no more. The spirit cannot lead you to get a job where they used to thief. God's spirit cannot lead you against God's word. Amen? The word already showed us what the church should be doing. The Bible calls the church the pillar and the ground of the truth. So the church should emphasize the word of God. So if you now find a place that is not teaching the word and not giving a fast prayer, Holy Ghost will not lead you to join there. But then after all these things, that you now find leading of the Spirit. You know that sometimes there are many good churches, but then God puts this, you just find yourself. And once you find yourself planted in that church, it looks like everything just begins to agree and come together for you, it begins to work well for you. Spiritually. So God now puts your heart and say, well, join that guy. Join that church. This is where I want it to be. You can even attend a couple of, you know, some of you, you might have attended a couple of 2-3 churches that are even sound and even good. You understand? But then, you just came here, it looks like something is pulling you. You pray, I will pray, find something pulling you. Yeah, that thing pulling you is a good thing. Do you follow to this point? Now, when you now choose the right church to join, you now begin the church right. So I'll just say a little here today. I'll just take 20 minutes, say a little, then we'll close. Amen? We have a lot to do in this series, so yeah, it's been long I thought on the church. Because if you don't begin the church the right way, you will not get blessed. This is the blessing in the church. I told you guys, the most powerful place on earth is the church. The kind of power present when we gather, you can't imagine it. But people can walk in and walk out and are not blessed. But you see, after that thing, go and join a church. When they now leave school, now, Papa cannot join church and be usher. Do you understand the point? How can Papa be sweeping church? Who is following me? How can Papa wash toilet? Papa that used to command, so the guy now, either he doesn't join the church, or he begins to float around, he just enters the church, looks around, and he doesn't stay committed. Then the fervency and the drive and urge for ministry begins to go. Before you know, he begins to redefine his calling. The guy that used to have a ministry calling will tell you, I'm not really a minister like that. I'm an apostle in the business place. He has redefined. See, stop redefining what God told you. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Amen? The guy now says, because he doesn't want to settle down in a place. I can tell you, I have many examples of this. They just keep going from this place. They don't. I graduated now. Many of the people, all my friends that are doing ministry now, whenever I see them, they will tell you, the first thing I tell them, I say, I'm proud of you. At least you are still doing this ministry. Many people have stopped. And it's not because they wanted to stop. This is the reason. So, the first thing I normally tell them is, go back, find a church, sit down there. Don't enter the church as Papa. You are not one. Amen? Was anybody a papa in school? Let me see. I don't know. Am I attacking you? You are a papa or a mama in school? Because I was one. So when I come out, but God gave me wisdom more. When I was papa in school, JCB president, I was going from Abuani to church in New Haven. Every Sunday and Wednesday. Have sense. Don't you think so? Because that I knew. And thank God I did, because immediately I stopped and I graduated, the Lord said, you're going to start a walk. Imagine I was just floating.
Amen. Papa doesn't understand how we can carry, how we'll be carrying instruments on his head. Because that's what church demands. Amen. Papa doesn't understand to be in creativity. And maybe the person they now put to be in charge of Papa in church, he's the cell, Papa cell leader. When he will now join a church, might be one brother that is not even serious in Papa's eye. So Papa is wondering how we can settle down and listen to this brother. So Papa will now refuse to go to church and begin to float. I'm not against all of that, Papa or Mama, whatever. At least, they papaed me too, very early. Before I went into school, I was already papaed. Do you understand the point? So from first year, I was Papa in prayer. I was prayer secretary. From second year, I became vice president. From third year, I became JCB president, the bishop. You know what that means? So I became the bishop. But you go, they like, calm down. When I left school and wanted to start ministry, you don't start ministry from the position of a bishop. We had to mix cement. Ministry, you know you dirty your hands, right? You don't want to start ministry, I just carry yourself like this, Papa, they are calling the show, you get office. You better leave that office. That office is what is stopping your ministry from growing. Beginning of ministry, don't use office. You wake up and come and see that nobody's coming to see you. Who knows you? Come out and go to this and be preaching to people. We don't have this office. That's by the way. But choose a church. Amen. Join a church. Settle down in a church. Grow in the church. Every time I meet school fellowship people, whether they're graduating, I always tell them this. I say, when you leave school, pray and trust the Lord. Let him lead you to a good church. Find a good church. Settle down there. Don't join the church as a pastor. Don't join as a minister of God. Don't even go and tell the pastor of the church, you know, when I was in school, I was, Join as a son. Do you understand? Just join and stay. If there is a grace of God upon your life, it will find you out in that church. And they tell you, they know they hide them. I get the point. As if there is a, it will be noticed, they will pick it in the church. So, well, you choose a good church and you join. And then I'm talking about the church, right? I'm talking about you must learn to honor our church. Why do you honor our meetings? And I'll tell you two reasons why you honor our meetings. Then I would say like four ways you honor our meetings. They will close. We'll come to from the industry because of our time. Now, you honor our meetings because the church is, Bible calls it Christ's possession. What it means is that as we are gathered like this, the church belongs to Christ. You know, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 28, he told the pastor, he said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. The Lord began to draw my attention to that word, purchased. He said, do you realize it's like God going to the market and you pay for a phone. Once you pay for that phone now belongs to you. So the church was purchased. So what you are doing here, Christ owns this place. Do you understand the point? Just like you going to buy a land. You can't just come into a congregation that is owned by Christ and you are behaving anyhow. I get to the point. One is the church is Christ's possession. Secondly, Jesus is always present when we gather. Always. You know, in Matthew chapter 18, I think verse 20, he told them, say, whenever two or more of you are gathered in my name, he said, I am there. So if you know how you behave yourself, should some of you that are students, should you be in class and then the VC walks into the class? If you know how you're going to behave yourself, you should behave more. Because every time we are gathered, forget that we are not seeing him. We need to inform the kind of honor that will bring it to us. How to church that you must have an attitude of honor. Not honor for people. I'm coming to honor for people later, not today. I mean honor for the meeting itself. Because Christ is present whenever we gather. You see, that's why, I'll touch many things. So that's why you can't see me in church now and I'm sleeping and I'm dozing. You can't find it. Jesus is present. You can't just come into the church and you behave anyhow. Can I feel sleep in church? Yes. Will I sleep the sleep? No. God is present. And I told you guys the story of a pastor friend of mine. We got into the meeting immediately and it was a meeting with my spiritual father. And when my spiritual father calls us for meetings, you know as it may be. The least teaching is 3 to 4 hours. Least. Do you understand me? So it's not. So immediately we sat down. When we were even worshiping and singing, I was already noticing the thing was pushing the guy. But he's a guy that loves the Lord. So he just picked up a pen and wrote to me. He said, "Man of God, I'm feeling very sleepy. Please don't let me sleep in this meeting." You get the point? And that changed my orientation, the way I see that guy forever. And of course, he said, "Look out for me." I looked at him, I told him, we share something in common. We share something strong in common, so look out for me too. But guess what? None of us slept. He didn't sleep. He was conscious of it. You get the point? You don't just come into church and think we just came to nowhere. Jesus is present. Paul told them in I think 1 Corinthians 5 verse 4, am I right? He said, when you are gathered, he said, and my spirit and the spirit of the Lord will be in your midst. Put up 1 Corinthians 5 verse 4. I don't know if I'm right. If it's not verse 4, we just go down to find it. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 4. He said, when you are gathered, he said, my spirit and the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in your midst. Praise God. Yeah, I'm right. He said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Put up like NLT. He said, when you guys come together, my spirit will be there. Paul was telling them. Why did he say that? Well, I can tell you for free. Remember, he told them. He told them, he said, you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you have only one father. So he was the father of this church. So, of course, whenever the church gathers in Port Harcourt, my spirit is there. I'm there. I'm the leader there. Right? But it's not just that. He said, the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you must call a meeting of the church. I'll be present with you in spirit, and so will the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this to you? God's power is here present. Once we come together, the power of God, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. Do you know what he was telling them to gather to do? They should gather and discipline a certain brother. So they were not gathering for a Holy Ghost meeting. They were gathering to discipline someone. And he told them, my spirit and the power of God will be there. So whatever we gather to do as a church, the power of God is there. I get what I'm thinking about. Whatever we gather to do as a church, so they were not gathering to pray, or to fast, or to cast out devil, or to do crusade. They were gathering to correct someone, to discipline. What you're trying to tell them is that when you guys gather, discipline that brother, send him out, put, you know, and all that. You know the brother we're talking about? Yeah. Say, discipline him. But he said, when you gather, don't forget the power of our Lord Jesus Christ is present. And I want this to enter you. That whenever we come like this, you see, Jesus is here. It's not just what we say. He is here. Literally. He is here because we all carry him. Right? And he is present. So I can, you know, in prioritizing our, in honoring our meetings, the first thing I will teach you is to prioritize the meetings. You know, why am I talking about priority? Because the first law of honor is that honor places priority. Honor always counts at first. I've taught you this a couple of times here, right? If you honor, for instance, now, okay, let me use what I'm using in a family now. If you guys are in family and you finish cooking food, who do you serve first? Your daddy. Why do you serve your daddy? It's a mark of honor. Do you understand the point? It's a mark of honor. There are many ways to prove it. Honor always will prioritize. Right? Honor will prioritize. If your younger brother is calling you and your father is calling you, you don't know who you answer first. Can I answer your father? if not, you answer for it. They're not come and say, where did you go? They say, Emeka and I have come. Nobody will tell you how it's going to be. It's a mark of honor. That's the thing I teach you when I talk about giving. If you are giving, if you have maybe on a partnership commitment, I'm going to be giving this every month, prioritize it. Once the money comes, you separate it first. It's a mark of honor. Amen? You see about the way the book of Proverbs we put it, it said, honor the Lord with the first fruit of your income. So you honor the Lord. Now, that same way we treat our meetings. Our meetings must have priority. In other words, everything and anything can wait for church. Psalm 122 verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our meetings must have the priority. You see, I know some of us walk, and I understand all of that. And I thank God some of us have learned that you can come from work to church. You can come from class to church. Amen? Our meetings, the church meetings must have priority. You see people miss church for different crazy reasons. Let me ask you a question. If you had exam today, and you just finished writing the exam, and you know there is a meeting that will hold somewhere at New Heaven, and you know that Jesus, not spiritual Jesus, physically, Jesus will come physically to talk to people in that meeting. Will you miss the meeting? You won't miss it. No matter what is happening, you will go. Like Jesus himself. I get the point. Now, that is how you must see our meetings. Every time, Jesus is the one calling us for a meeting. We can't turn it down. Our meetings must be honored. And it starts from priority. You see, people say, my neck is paining me. It's just a child. My neck is paining me, I cannot come. My this. And some the same person that will not come to church, because they say that I sit at home on Monday, or on Thursday. Right? That same person, on Valentine's Day, go to ShopRite, everywhere was packed out. It just shows what you prioritize. Anything and everything can wait for church. Amen? Anything can wait for church. Anything can wait. And if I take it into your personal life, you see when it comes to your prayer life, anything can wait for prayer. If you do that, you have a solid prayer life. For all these ones, you have prayer time by 8 o'clock. But around that 7:55, that's when your friend brings up one powerful gist. The gist is flowing. That gist can wait. Let me touch your neighbor and say, the gist can wait. Because I sent this a word of knowledge. The gist can wait. Yeah. It can wait. You are trying to leave the conversation is pulling you. Anything can wait for prayer. Anything can wait. Because the church must have priority. It's our meetings, right? It is a meeting where God is. That's why I heard some of you travel. We have conferences. People travel long distances to come to the meetings. That is a healthy thing to do. It shows you are prioritizing the meeting. And the world will never understand it. You say, where are you going to? Church. Haha. From here to, I don't know churches around here. The person complaining that you are going all the way from New Heaven or from MNA to church is coming from Abuja. He's in UNEC, but he's going to school. He went all the way from Abuja to Enugu to go to school. And it's okay. But it is stupid to go from New Heaven to... Don't be foolish. You know, somebody told me, I said, what are you doing in Enugu here? He said, I'm a student. I said, why didn't you school in Port Harcourt, where you come from? Is there no university there? There is in the port. Why didn't you school there? And I say, because I prefer UNN. I say exactly what I'm saying. We go to where we prefer. Is that not true? And the church must have priority. I get to the point. It's a mark of honor. It shows you are honoring the meeting. So you must be glad. You come to church excited. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. So we honor our meetings. It cannot be substituted for anything. Not even for sleep. Amen. You know, some people, you find it very easy to miss church. I'm not here to condemn you, but I'm here to challenge you to grow up. It shouldn't be easy for you like that to just not be in church. Any small thing, say, why my clothes was not ironed. I've prepared to come out to, I don't know, let me be sure I'm not trying to get to somebody direct. Amen. He said, we are finished preparing to come out. As I was about to come out, that's when they put on tap. And if I don't go and fetch the water that time, before I come back, they've put off the tap. Then I said, well, let me follow online. And now, struggle for water. Now, how will you be struggling for water while following online? Let me explain the first one on you. Half of the time, that tap will be on till you come back from church. The reason is plain. And service must be prioritized. If they say
the governor of a state is visiting. You see how everybody, all the top government officials, they will always be, they leave everything, they cancel everything. Commissioners, local government chairman, all of them are present. Amen? You see governors that can just wake up one evening and call an emergency meeting by tomorrow evening, or everybody will travel down from wherever. Because the governor is coming, he's calling a meeting. God calls a meeting, we must prioritize our meetings. I'll tell you this, I said this during our retreat. Do you know, the Bible said on the day of Pentecost, that 3,000 people got saved. Amen? Now, all those 3,000 people, we are not living in Jerusalem. Not all of them are living in Jerusalem. Because the Bible tells us that people travel down from different places for that Pentecost day. So what does that tell you? Some of them, they are living far, but they stayed back in Jerusalem for that grooming. Bible historians tell us that that's why you now read the Bible. The Bible now tell us that these people are selling their houses and their lands because they had to find a way to support those believers that traveled down but couldn't go back again. They stayed back to be able to grow spiritually in that Jerusalem. Are you getting me? So it's not out of place to change your city because of church. You say, So the reason you're just going to go there is because of church. But the person will be in Enugu and suddenly he'll get a job in Qatar. He packs his bag and starts going to Qatar. And they say, why did you go? He said, I got a job. They say, oh, wow, congratulations. But he said, I want to relocate to Umaya. I say, why? He said, I just sense I want to join the church and do whatever. I say, because of church. Because of church. You see the problem? It's even sounding strange to your own ear now. It's even sounding strange to your ear. But these guys came down to Jerusalem to do Pentecost and they got born again. And the apostles kept them down in Jerusalem. I began to follow them up. That's what Bible said, they were meeting daily. So people that now had lands and houses began to sell them. Because people that are learning the word, we eat. Do you understand the point? They began to sell them and began to. That's why enough they began to share food. My point is, our services must be prioritized. Is the first way we honor our meetings. The first way we honor it is to prioritize it. Of course, another way to honor it, still talking about priority, is that you must come prepared. You come prepared. That's what we normally teach. You don't come to church without your writing material. You can't be going to a classroom and you know that they're going to teach there and you don't go with your notes and your pen. When you don't go with your notes and your pen, there are two things you are saying. Either you are so sure the lecturer will not say anything, or you are so sure that everything he's going to say, you already know it. And that's a terrible attitude to bring to church. Are you following me? So you come with your writing materials, you come with a tongue ready to pray, you come prepared. It's a way we honor our meeting. Okay? Of course, I'm talking about you dress properly. He said, is it also part of coming to church? Yes, so. How many of you know there's a way you can dress to somewhere and you dishonor the place? You have a wedding coming up. And on your wedding day, your younger brother is coming. And he wears just Dunlop slippers and polo with hoe. You know hoe? And cutlass. And he comes and sits down. Where you are, you already feel it. It's dishonoring your wedding. If it was not your younger brother, you can even tell security to throw that guy out. What did he do wrong? Okay, he brought people onto the meeting. Now, by his dress code, he's dishonoring that meeting. Doesn't have to say anything. So that's why there's a way to dress to church. And I've emphasized this a couple of times. For instance, one of the ways to dress to church is decently. Amen? Another way to dress to church is moderately. And then properly. Properly means there are ways you don't, there are things you don't wear to church. It is church. Some things are decent, but you cannot wear them to church. It's always good to look good to church, look good when you're coming to church. Do you understand me? It's always good. He said, does it matter? Is God looking at our dressing? No. Are we saying that if you don't have clothes, you cannot come? No. Right? But we're saying you should dress as though you are going to a serious place because you're actually coming to a very serious place. Is church not serious? Coming to a serious place. There is a way you dress to an interview, they send you back.
They'll just believe you're not taking them serious. One guy was going to go for an interview. That was Nigeria Breweries. I don't know whether, I don't know it's because, whether it's because they say it's Breweries. He thought it's for drunkards. You know, sag this trouser. I'm not joking, no. It's somebody I know. It's not the story I heard on the internet. He was not telling me the story. Say they sent me a come out. I said, what the hell happened? I said, I wear my normal clothes now. Nah, I tell my trousers with my polo. I said, who sent you back? Say the gate, man. I said, that's how it's done. Right from the gate. Don't have to enter. You know, I told him, you should get out. Get my mother, get certificate. I say, and you that have certificates, see how you dress for an interview. It shows you are dishonoring them. Even if they tell you that in an interview, you can dress, like the dress code is freestyle. Right? If they say it's freestyle. Some things are not still freestyle. The guy is not going to freestyle rich. Are you what I'm talking about? If they say it's freestyle today, are you respect yourself now? You go to banks, for instance. Banks, Friday is freestyle for them, you know, right? Most of these banks, most firms. It doesn't still mean that on that Friday, you now go down. That's something you still not see. Because you must honor that this is a corporate place. Do you understand the point? And that's what church must be honored. We are coming to church. We are serious. So there is a way you honor our meetings. And one of them is in your dressing. Then in church, you must be orderly. One of the ways to honor our meetings is that you are orderly. This order starts from maybe things like punctuality. You don't walk into church anytime you think. It's not anytime you wake up that you come to church. And I can tell you one of the ways to help you always make it to church early. You see, don't always hurry up to beat time. You don't beat time by hurrying up. You beat time by coming out early. You understand? Service cannot be 5 o'clock and you leave your house by 4:50 and you are running. The chances are, it is that day that you are running that Satan will send one driver. Have you ever entered for drivers that have refused to move? They are going to nowhere. And you trek to church inside the car. And you are one, they are shouting, what is wrong with you? But, well, sometimes it's that day that you will not hit keke. And they will come down and start exchanging words. He says, drive back, I go, but don't worry. He said, no, let me talk to this man. He thinks he can talk to me anyhow. It is that day. And you now feel Satan is fighting you. Sometimes it's not Satan fighting you, you just came out late. Punctuality is part of order. While you are in church, you must behave properly. You must behave properly while in church. You don't take phone calls in church. You don't put on your phones in church. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't take phone calls. There's a way to behave. There's a way to dress. While you are in church, your phone must not be ringing out in church. You don't set your alarm and it's ringing very loud in church. I begin to run around to put it off. I was talking to the workers on Saturday and I told you, for instance, 11, let me take it to your everyday life. If you want to go and see someone that is bigger than you, maybe you have an appointment with the governor or something, you must apply everything I'm teaching you. I hope you know. One, you must dress properly. Two of us. Imagine you are bidding for a contract. Maybe, what do you do now? What contract do you want? To distribute honey. So maybe, let's say you sell honey. And then, the governor of the state said, there's a project that running, they want to distribute 10 trailers of honey to different people. And they look for who to give the contract, and they say, bring your proposal. And finally they say, come and see the governor. That day, one, you're going to be dressed well. Two of us. You'll be punctual. Won't you? I'm just trying to tell you, that day when you get in there, you are not going to leave your phone on and run. And I say, excuse me, sir. He put it up. Or even while in his presence, he says, excuse me, is my mother calling me? Hello? That's how they send you out. He says, sir, I should not answer my mother's call. That's not what I say. Just be going. You like your mother, she? Go outside and answer her call. After answering the call, just be going from there. So it's not just because it's church. This is a proper way to honor every serious meeting. I get to the point. You get there on time. You get there on time. You are in church. You are properly behaved. You're properly. That's, you remember that teaching I did? Remember? Proper behavior. Come on, why you there that night? Why are you guys shouting? Pretty short teaching. How long was it? Just simple 6 hours with you guys. Have you been like, we are coming again this year. Say amen. Ordinary 6 hours with you guys. Don't worry. This time, I'll lock the door. And I have the key in my pocket. And that kind of meeting is okay to sleep. If you sleep, you wake up, we're still talking. Once you sleep, you tell your neighbor, hey, what did I miss? You copy and complete your notes and just stay back. Praise God. So, you must properly behave yourself while in church. I can say a lot about proper behavior. Proper behavior. There's a way to behave. That's why you're not in church and you're trying to discuss with your neighbor. You're trying to pinch your neighbor. What are you doing? Do you lack home training? You just behave in a way. Just sit in. Are you wondering why the ushers never put you in front? There must be a proper way to act. A proper way to behave. It's not once you get into church, that's where you know you'll be going to ease yourself, standing up every time. You think we open toilet for you? You do not, wait, hey, calm down. Learn to sit down. How about some teaching meetings we're going to run this year? If you stand up, just stay outside. You can't just walking up and down, sit down one place. And some of you like that discipline. That's why ordinary jam, they say you should write. Under 2 hours, you've stood up to go and eat yourself 2 times. You just don't know what to write. You don't know what to write. Because if you actually know what to write, you'll be writing. Who has ever stood up to guide yourself in an exam? It's because you forgot that. Sometimes you look at the exam question, number 1 to 5. You become pressed from everywhere. You see, proper behavior is that you sit down in church. That's not when you stand up and you're walking all over the place. Everything is not for sure. Some people in church, they're just misbehaving. That's when you want to be drinking, sipping Sprite inside church. Are you sick? It's a different thing that you are saying, because that's why I don't put hard and fast rules around this, because somebody can actually be sick. Do you understand? Are you what I'm saying? You can actually be sick and you need to maybe take your medication. Those things happen. A baby has to eat in church. You know, babies, they don't care. When they're in church, when they want to eat, they just have to eat. And you have to, that one is a different case. Do you understand? There are no hard and fast rules. But then you're a normal human being, like nothing is wrong with you. You just want to be irresponsible inside church. You want to be eating, when Pastor Kraus joke, you laugh after laughing. Others are done laughing. Your own laugh continues. What is wrong with you? Why are you like this? When I'm begging you, it's okay, now let's preach. You are just laughing. See, say, I honor this meeting, though. Say it again. There is a way to honor, as in, see this. I tell you, every time you come into church, force your eyes to be open and see Jesus standing here. Yeah. See it like I'm standing before the Lord. It's amazing that some things you cannot even do in my presence as your pastor, you can do it in church if I'm not there. It means you don't really have an honor for the Lord. You just have eye service. Do you understand me? If I call you for a meeting now, there's a way, for instance, some of you have an appointment with me in the house. If I say, come and see me by 12, by 11:15, you are seated in my house. Because you know pastor now, he might not even attend to you once you come late. If you are going to do that where you are coming to see me, think of where you are coming to church. I don't get the point. Once you come to see me, some of you put off your phone immediately. You are just so proper. If that's going to happen when you're coming to see me, what happens when you come into church? There are exceptions. For instance, you're in church now, you've invited some people to church, and you know they're going to call you to ask for direction. You understand me? Now you have to put your phone on silent, or maybe on vibration, and you don't stay in a place where you're walking up and down, we distract the church. I don't get the point. So my point is, honor this meeting. And the last thing I'm going to say on this is, please pay attention to church. Pay attention to everything done in church. That way, that's how you receive. One major way to honor our meetings is you pay attention. Sometimes I come to church and you already know me, these things piss me off. You come to church opening prayer, somebody's outside discussing. Some people are outside standing up and down. People are just stuck in praises. People are walking up and down. When it is message them, they come in and they are serious. You're already losing out. You pay attention to every single thing we do in church. When I get to next week, you begin to see that even when we are dancing in church, God is blessing people. And even if God is not blessing people, the fact that God is there when we are dancing the dance, do you get the point? It should make you take it serious.
So you pay attention to every single thing. Every single thing. It's not only the message that should bless you in a church. Everything should. You pay attention to our worship sessions. They are saying, kneel down, raise up your hand. Please kneel down and raise up your hand. It's part of order. That's what I say proper. Usher, you come in church. Usher says, sit here. You are telling the usher that where you want to sit. He says, I don't like sitting there. I have a permanent seat in this church. Look at it. It's disorder. It's disorder. I've gone to a church. I didn't plan to go to the church. I was actually waiting for someone. So the person I noticed will spend like 1 hour or so before the person gets there. So I didn't want to just get into an eatery and sit down. There was a church nearby. So I just said, let me just join them and fellowship till the person I came to see arrived. So immediately the usher said, please go and sit there. I know I should be. So I just called. I began to explain. I said, please, I'm sorry. I'll be leaving anytime soon. Please just give me a seat that is around. But if it's not done here, I'll go and sit down there. That's how to behave. You get the point? And in fact, can I tell you, if I usher said it's not done here, go and sit down there. When the time comes, you walk. I say, fine. It's not time to say, do you know who I am? Yeah, nobody. God has empowered that usher at that point to bring order to the church. Just obey it. Sit here, just kind of like, you will not die. I don't get the point. You will not die. And then when you are in church, pay attention. If you are dancing, pay attention. If you are preaching, just stay, pay attention. That's why you don't just sleep off. I heard a story, and I'll share the story, then we'll close. I heard a story by a woman of God, you know, some years ago. These are some of the stories that I heard that pursued sleep from my eye in church. They were doing a meeting, just a meeting of about, I think about 8 people. It was supposed to be a prayer, a Bible study and prayer meeting. So they continued at around 2-3. That time, sleep was already. So I think there were only 3 or 4 that were awake, only 3. And suddenly in the midst of the prayer, Jesus appeared in physical form. And 3 of them had a corporate vision. Have you seen that kind of thing? It happens in church, a corporate vision. Like 3 of them were seeing the same thing. They went under the influence, and went under the influence, seeing vision, just spoke to all of them. And the funny thing was, he appeared to 3 of them and spoke to 3 of them, told 3 of them different things in church. You get the point? It was a very dramatic. He said the experience lasted for like 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, 3 of them snapped out of it at the same time. Powerful experience. The others were still sleeping. So when they now got up, after this, they were now saying, thank you, Jesus. The others woke up and say, what happened? You see, when you are in church, you should be here. Your whole attention should be here. Don't be like Peter. Don't go to the Mount of Transfiguration and then you are sleeping. And then you wake up, the first thing that came to your mind is, let's build 3 tents. One for Jesus. You see the kind of nonsense you keep saying when you sleep. You stay fully attentive. The church is not a place where you press your phone. It's not the time to start chatting. That's why I said you should choose the right church. I know that's why you are doing from the church where you are coming from. Message time is chatting time. That if you are here, it's not to come and you are chatting. It's not the time to start. It's not the time to start doing your manicure. Do you understand? Do you know what I'm saying? Inside church. Stay focused. And I tell you how to stay focused in a church. Engage. You don't have to talk to people, right? Engage all your 5 senses. In other words, if I'm preaching, use your eyes. Be looking at me. That's why I don't like distraction. If I'm preaching, be looking at me. If I'm preaching, be listening to me. If I'm preaching, use your hand. Be writing. Your skin must be involved in what I'm doing. Be writing. I didn't get the point. If I'm preaching, be smelling. Everything, every part of your body must be here. And I've taught you this in prayer too, right? One way to pray. Have you noticed that sometimes when you pray, you can just speak in tongues, and your mind is in hostel. Does it happen to you? How to conquer is what I'm telling you. If you want to pray, engage every part of you. Once you engage, that's what I teach when you pray. Focus. Walk around. Engage yourself. Notice the kind of prayer that happens, a prayer that you walk carelessly. You just be thinking many things. Have you noticed that prayers that you stay like this, that thing cannot cross your mind. I'm not saying you must shake your head or shake your leg. You get the point? But I'm saying once you are, your everything should be in the prayer. Prayer, Bible tells us the earnest, heartfelt. So prayer must be heartfelt. It must come from the heart. So you put your all. That's how to stay in church. Your mind must be here. Your spirit must be here.
Your body must be here. Every part of you must be here. Getting the best. You are writing. You are listening. Then there's another sense we need to talk about. That tongue, right? Must be talking. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say amen. Shout amen. Engage everything. We can't just be, my own is to be writing. And that's what some of us do. You notice, I used to tell you, some of us, we just get carried away in the writing. They even say, this year, you'll be blessed. You don't even remember to say amen. You're just writing. Mm-mm. Everything should be here. Are you following me at all? Everything. Get the best from our service. Amen. If the guy leading praise is saying, jump up. Jump. There's nothing wrong with your leg. Jump up. So we honor our meetings. This is God's house, right? This is God's house. And this is the best place you can get blessed. So you prioritize the meeting. You behave properly. You are punctual. You are giving the best to the meeting. And you are getting blessed. Maybe this is the last closing. Amen? The last closing is this. It's the last in Jesus' name. Well, you guys know I can preach very short messages. And so I enjoy keeping you this long. You see, when it comes to church, why you pay attention is because there is something happening in church at every point in church that you are not seeing. And being a pastor, I've learned this. The Bible says Paul was teaching in Acts 14, verse 8. The Bible says he was preaching the gospel. I like using that passage. What was he preaching? The gospel. What is the gospel? Christ's death and resurrection, simple. Nothing about healing. And as he was preaching, go to verse 7. This verse 8, go to verse 7. He said, and there they preached the gospel. So it wasn't a miracle service. It was simply a teaching meeting. It was telling Christ's death and resurrection. And verse 8, as it was happening, it was a healing meeting. There was a man sitting there, impotent in his feet, who has never walked. But now, see what happens. The same heard Paul speak. So the guy sat down there, was listening to Paul, and was steadfast. The way he was attentive in the meeting, it is Paul perceived that there is now faith to be healed. It was the healing meeting. But the way the guy was following the meeting, Paul said, stand up and walk. And that was it. Something is happening in church whenever we gather. That's what you can find. Have you noticed that sometimes, for instance now, throughout this week now, many of you have experienced a lot of good miracles around you. Do you understand? Have you noticed that sometimes you come to church, we teach normal teaching, you just go home. But you notice that something suddenly begins to happen for you. Do you understand? What happens is, things are being fixed up. You know, angels are working whenever we are gathered here. You know, right? Things are being fixed. That's why you stay attentive. Go to that verse 9. Well, I'm going to close with this. Go to that verse 9. That's why it doesn't matter what we are teaching. Put up like NLT, another translation. Whether we are dancing, Bible said, and listening as Paul preached. I like the word listening. Another translation. Listening. He was listening to Paul as he talked. So there was, you know, the guy was focused. Follow him. Ah. And Paul beheld him and saw that this guy has faith. So we don't have to call it any kind of meeting. Once you are here, get yourself here. Sometimes it's at the end of the meeting that you now go home and find out that this pain I had if I came into the service is no more there. Have you ever experienced that kind of thing? They didn't pray for the sick. Have you noticed that sometimes we just come after the whole dance, you just sit down and find out. You remember that actually before this service, I couldn't do some things I did during this dance session. Are you getting me? I've had cases of where we just come and say, rejoice, jump, run in the Holy Ghost. And after running, you know, there was a meeting I attended with. That was my spiritual father's meeting. The guy I'm talking about now is outside the country. He's in Spain, working with one of the biggest companies. Anyway, I don't want to mention the name of the company. But I was in that meeting. The man of God was just preaching. He said, some of you that want to travel abroad there, come out here and dance. And the guy ran out. There was no musical. And they were dancing. Woo! Glory to God! One month after, that happened in December. The next month he traveled. Got a job. And I'm talking about a big, big job. Very committed member of the church. The pastor allowed him to go. He's still leading. Of course, they had to start a streaming center there, and the church is almost. Let me not say everything. Amen. But then it was just come out and dance. Who would have thought that just dancing in church? You get it? But it looks stupid. I say, run! He start running. He say, hey, this church, self. Where are we running to? Why are we running? You see how you think I'm stupid? That's how stupid the Israelites thought Joshua was. When he said, for this battle, we'll just be walking around Jericho. No, think about it. Imagine the president of Ukraine tells them, for us to conquer Russia, we'll just march around Russia. Seven days. So what if on the fourth day they now see that we are marching around and come and kill us? For some reason they didn't attack them. The last day they say we're going to march seven times. And after marching, we will shout. What's next? Let's just shout. Who would have thought? I didn't get the point. Who would have thought? That's the wisdom of God. So once you are here, stay focused. Something is happening. It might not even be something physical. Something is happening. Sometimes you go home and find out that your prayer life is better. Are you getting the point? Sometimes you go home. Some people, have you noticed sometimes you come here, before you came, you are so tired of life, tired of ministry. You are so sure that after this may be your last Sunday service. And then after service, you are just so sure that then service will just happen. At the end of service, you're not thinking of nations. You that said this was the last Sunday service, something happened to you. Are you getting me? God was working out something in you. This is your house. Your home. We honor you. We are. Lord, we are. Say, this is your house.
This is your house.
This is your home.
It's your home.
Stand to your feet.
We honor you today.
Beat one more time. This is your house.
This is your house.
This is your home. We honor you.
We honor you.
Lord, we honor you.
Lord, we honor you.
This is your house.
This is your house.
This is your house.
Your home.
We honor you.
We honor you today.
For the last time, I want you to sing it. This is your house.
This is your house.
This is your home.
Your home.
We honor you.
We honor you.
Lord, we honor you.
Lord, we honor you.
This is your house.
This is your house.
This is your home.
It's your home.
We honor you.
We honor you today.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of church, for the privilege of serving you in your home. Thank you. Thank you. And this evening, we take the corrections, we take the instructions, and we receive the strengthening to walk in what we must walk in. And we get the best of the church. I declare everybody here blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed in the name of Jesus. The blessing of God that dwells in the church will turn your life around. It fixes your finances, it fixes your health, it fixes your studies, it fixes your spiritual life, it fixes your family. You get the best out of this meeting, and you are blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are you?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.